There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, and right now it is time to laugh. Let's talk about it with the Skit Guys, Tommy Woodard and Eddie James on Steve Brown, etc.
He's an old white guy, an author, broadcaster, and seminary professor who's sick of religion. And he's brought friends. Please welcome Steve Brown, etc.
And this is Steve Brown, etc., although technically today it is just etc. Steve, the aforementioned old white guy, is away. Is he away at family camp? I don't know. He didn't say. Possibly. I don't know that he's not there.
No.
Is he's done that?
Only if he would could he take an RV there.
Would he be teaching or attending?
I don't think he's much for like events. He's a stayer at homer kind of guy, and we love him for it. I am your humble pinch hitter guest host, Matthew Porter. Our producer, you just heard from him, Jinx. He's working hard in his little glass booth. Jinx reminds our recent 2022 graduates, live, laugh, love. That's very touching, Jinx. I don't expect that from you.
It's on the kitchen wall.
Just
take it from there. My wife knows what she's doing. I
no
just copy
judgment.
It, paste it, go.
Our video director and one-man IT department, John Myers, is in his tech bunker. And you can have his original Nintendo game controller when you buy it from his cold, dead hands. Not much call for the Charlton Heston impression these days.
I liked it.
Thank you. I'm not going to tell you how much time I actually worked on that. It would be embarrassing. Dr. George Bingham is the president of Key Life. George, actually, speaking of graduates, just gave a commencement speech to some graduates titled, "You May Be Forgiven, But Your Student Debt..."
Not so much.
It's not going to be forgiven. And Kathy Wyatt, of course, is the soft, feminine side of the program here at Camp Key Life. She's our camp director.
Key Life.
She's usually a pretty happy camper. Usually. Unless one of us messes up. Guys, I am so excited, genuinely, to talk to our guest today. It combines three of my great passions. We'll talk about what those are in just a second, but I want to get right to it. Our guests today are Tommy Woodard and Eddie James. You probably know them as the Skit Guys. They have been writing and performing skits together since their high school days and have traveled the world performing at events, churches, and conferences. When they're not doing Skit Guys stuff, Tommy serves as a teaching pastor in Oklahoma, and Eddie volunteers at his church in Texas. Tommy and Eddie have a new feature comedy film that was just released in theaters, and it is called Family Camp. Guys, welcome.
Hey, thank you for having us.
Man, I'm so stoked. The three things I love: filmmaking, writer, director, producer. So like the whole process of producing a film is very close to my heart. Comedy. I love comedy. That's actually how I first got involved with Key Life, like back in 99, writing comedy bits. Wow. Like Touched by a Hell's Angel. I was paid American dollars to write that bit. Different scene back then. We had 3 hours a day live to cover. So that's how I snuck in. And in church drama, my late mother-in-law was a church drama director, and I can't tell you how many sketches that we wrote together and performed in. Very close to my heart. And you guys have brought all of these things together in a really unique way in this film. And I want to get into the film. We do have a full hour, so, you know, we could kind of, you know, pace this thing. I would love to hear a little bit how you guys started.
Go for it, Ed.
No, you started. You go for it. Go for it.
Our whole story kind of begins with a youth pastor lying to me. He asked me to go on a mission trip. I wasn't going to go. I went to church about once a month, and he lied to me and said, "Hey, we need someone to do drama on this mission trip." And I was so arrogant. I thought, well, if God needs drama, he needs me. And so he had no plans for drama on the mission trip, but I said yes. And so he had to find a monologue for me to do. I went on the trip. It was a life changer for me. And I came back home, as most kids do from a youth mission trip, way too Jesus-y. And my buddy Eddie, who is a year younger than me, he had one more year left of school. We had plans to go be on Saturday Night Live. That was the goal. drive my red 81 Chevette from Oklahoma to New York. It would have broke down in Little Rock, but that's okay. We didn't know that. And so instead of that, all of a sudden I want to do something different. And he's trying to figure out what's wrong with me, you know? And so then one day I invited him to church. You want to pick it up from there, Ed?
Sure. Yeah. We started sitting in the youth group and just making fun of the youth pastor. And one day he just said, "Hey guys, why don't you start using your powers for good instead of evil?" And we were, "What does that mean?" He goes, "Well, why don't you start doing skits every Wednesday night?" And I mean, and he really meant it. And we're like, "Well, okay." And not that it was skits for God, but it was just, you know, hubris. It was just a bunch of ego going, "Well, of course, let's do it." You know? So, and the skits in the '80s, were a little cheesy for a high schooler. You know, I was like, you know, Jesus was introduced very quickly. Mm-hmm. Jesus was like line three, you know, because why are you doing a skit? You had to get to Jesus so quick. And then there's usually scripture that would be followed up right after that. So, for however it worked, Tommy and I just decided we didn't want to do those skits. And we just started stealing stuff from Saturday Night Live and trying to make it Christian. Very hard to do. Very hard to do. But,
hard to redeem those skits.
But we did. We would, and then before we knew it, we were traveling all over Oklahoma for gas money and a chicken dinner and doing, you know, Hans and Franz and Church Lady and Phil Donahue and the Liar Guy and just trying to figure out how to pop scripture in there and make it all work. And that's really, that was kind of our comedy club, so to speak, of just trying out, you know, how we would do things. And it just kind of evolved from there, from youth pastors still being able to do it. People would invite us to do stuff until it turned into a full-time job.
I love it. I love it. I had a good buddy, Dave, in high school, and there's no parallel because they'd be like, "Hey, Dave, do you want to, you know how we snuck in on campus last Friday night and put a Burger King crown at the top of the, do you want to just kind of do that like forever together?" Our experiences are very different in that sense, but very similar.
That's awesome. That's
in the awesome youth group sense. That's a great era, by the way. If you're going to steal from Saturday Night Live, that's Phil Hartman so kind of era. I mean,
oh gosh, it was so good. Yes. Yes.
Good sources.
Yeah. Like you just said, yeah, Phil Hartman did Phil Donahue, and Phil Donahue was huge, though some people may not know. But I mean, oh my goodness, Church Lady. I mean, so it was just perfect to just figure out great high energy comedy. And then, you know, wherever we went, we still kind of do the same thing with our videos. Or, you know, it was like, okay, what's the theme? What are you all talking about? And then we just try to keep, we just look up scripture and just tweak it and put it in there according to the characters. So it was a lot of fun. It was very fascinating.
That's great. Every good artist, they're early on steals. They don't know it. You're stealing. I wrote a short script, a short story in middle school. Had an uncanny resemblance to Raiders of the Lost Ark. there's some scholarly debate about, you know, where this was sourced from. But yeah, I get you. I feel you. So you guys are writing, traveling around. What's kind of the next phase? What did that look like? Where it evolved to from there?
Yeah. So, you know, as Eddie said, we were traveling around Oklahoma doing skits for Gas Money and a Chicken Dinner. That went into Texas and then the southern states. And all of a sudden we start traveling a lot. Fast forward the tape to around 2003, and churches start using videos in their services. And we connected with a guy who could put what we did on video. And so we started making these, you know, 3 to 5 minute short films that churches would use, you know, and that became really the primary part of our ministry, you know. So we'd still do live shows, but we're making all these short videos. With all along, there was always that dream to do something bigger, but it just seemed impossible, you know.
Yeah, beautiful. And curious, like, what is your writing style been or creating? Do you guys start with an idea and improv it out? What's and has that process changed any through the years, or is it pretty much still the same?
You know, it's pretty much still been the same. I'm really kind of blown away by that. We would, in high school, we would meet in a Sunday school room and we would hear about the theme on a, you know, whatever our youth pastor was talking about, because there was no downloadable sermon. So you had to create it your own.
He had to use the Bible back then.
He had to use, yeah.
Dark days, my friends.
It was not anything to download. So, but And it really was, well, you say this, I say this, you say this, I say this, you say this. Okay, let's do it again. And that's really how we would get up there and throw it together. And if you go to skitguys.com, and if it's a skit guy script, not a narrative, not something that a church would use on a video, but if it was one of our live skits and you see a script, it's usually the last thing. Scripts have always been the last thing more than the first thing when it comes to Tommy and I. Because then we can, you know, we tweak it and perfect it and, you know, and then we make a script out of it. So we would kind of go backwards as far as the live stuff. And still to this day, that's what we do. Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. In watching the videos, it's the chemistry, the timing almost recalls. I haven't seen Key and Peele because I'm Christian, but if I had, I would say,
amen.
I'm definitely not seeing the Aaron sketch at all, but if I had, I would say you guys patter back and forth. The timing, it speaks to a level of trust and experience that you guys have built up for a long time. You're not just coming out of the gate with that.
It's a great compliment.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Guys, we're talking to Tommy Woodard and Eddie James. They have built a career out of having a lot of fun. That is remarkable in itself. Then they made a movie, which is any movie that gets made, as we talk about here all the time, is a miracle. And on the other side of the break, we are going to get into family camp. We're going to learn about the stars. We're going to learn about how this came together. We're going to learn about how this thing came together, what it's all about, where it was shot. I love all the details. Guys, you want to stick around for this. You are listening to Steve Brown, etc. We will be right back.
Hi, this is Eric, producer of Steve Brown, etc. If you've been listening very long, you know I'm a struggling believer, and I'd love to share some things that have helped. At Key Life, we believe that the deepest message of the ministry of Jesus and the Bible is the radical grace of God for sinners and sufferers. And we have 4 mini books that'll help you believe that no matter what you've done or what you're going through, God's not mad at you. Feeling Guilty, Suffering, and Faith and Doubt by Steve Brown will help you apply healing biblical truth to where it hurts the most. And my mini book, The Gift of Addiction, How God Redeems Our Pain, shows that coming to the end of ourselves is actually the beginning of faith. These 4 mini books are in the Grace for Sinners and Sufferers mini book combo, and it's available at keylife.org for a suggested donation of $12. They're also individually available for a suggested donation of $4.
And thank you for joining us on Steve Brown, etc. We are talking to the Skit Guys, Tommy Woodard and Eddie James. Their new comedy just opened in theaters. It is called Family Camp. Check out the trailer and get your tickets at familycampmovie.com and find out more from Tommy and Eddie at skitguys.com.
Tommy, before I ask my question, I just have to tell you, you mentioned your red Chevy Chevette.
Yeah.
I too had a red Chevy Chevette.
Yes.
And I took it into the service department one time because there was this obnoxious rattling that was going on in the back end. And I got there and the head of the service department said to me, and I quote, "Kathy, what do you want made in Japan with beer cans?"
That's a great description.
That's my Chevy Chevette story. But anyway,
awesome.
Did yours rattle in the back end? I tell you, it was an interesting.
I'm a 2 Chevette owner.
I wrecked my
first Chevette when I was 16, driving and kissing my girlfriend at the same time. Then I got another Chevette.
Yeah. So
that is rock and roll.
Didn't learn a thing.
Nope.
You're like a John Mellencamp song come to life.
Really? Really? Well, listen, my question revolves around, as one who's way older than you two are, but who also grew up in the church. Did the idea for this movie, the family camp idea, was that like, well, this is a no-brainer. We're going to make a movie and we're going to zero in on this because, man, the, you know, the stuff is endless in this topic. Or when I think about life in the church, it's like, oh my gosh, there's just so many places that you could go. But so where, how did the idea to zero in on camp?
I mean, it's one, that's a great question. And two, thank you for thinking that we are intelligent enough to think through that. the truth of the matter is, this was the brainchild of the co-writer and director, Brian Cates. He literally in about a, oh, I don't know, Ed, what, probably a 20, 48 hour period, wrote out the first draft of this.
Wow.
And shared it with us. And, you know, we looked at it and we're like, man, this is good, you know? And then we all got in there. He did the heavy lifting with our lead writer, Renee Gutteridge, who's so gifted and talented. And then we just kept going draft after draft after draft until we ended up with something that we went, this is really funny. And this mm-hmm. has something for everybody, like from, you know, we like to say from 8 to 80, you know, and then the 6-year-olds get mad. So from, you got well, 2 to 200, but the 200-year-olds don't get as much out of it. But yeah, it's, you know, so that's where it really came from.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. I knew in my own church, I knew that obnoxious guy. I had one. Yeah, I had one.
Only one?
Only one that I knew really well.
Yeah. George, well, and the cast that you guys brought together, I mean, really impressive, especially I was impressed with the young actors. Yeah. I mean, how well they did. Where do they come from? Is that close to home people or?
They were all auditions. Tommy and I pretty much have lived in our little bubble for probably, you know, for all this time doing our things, and we would bring on different people for some of our videos that we do for churches. But this was a full on audition. They all have agents, so we don't even know that world. And it was little by little, just people auditioning and getting callbacks and them forming this great, great team. And all these kids are just really, really good. Yeah.
They really were. In particular, the teenage girl just was real chops. I mean, just like, oh,
CC is so gifted, so talented.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, I would love to take two steps back because just give us the premise of the film. Is Eddie, you play a character named Eddie. Tommy, you play Tommy. We're not starting strong in the creativity department, but from there it does improve. But tell us about the premise of the story. What's
one less thing to have to try and remember? Yeah, from script.
Yeah. That's right.
You know. Yeah.
That's right. We did that on purpose too. Cause everywhere we go, you know, because our videos are in churches, that we go places and they'll go, hey, how do I know you? I know you. You know, so they see us on the screen, but it's not like those videos go, hey, it's a Skit Guys video, Tommy and Eddie. So we decided to really just kind of brand ourselves and let people know who we are, even after this thing is over. But with that, I'm a very overly religious character who cares probably more about image than I and people pleasing than I really do maybe the care and fostering of my family.
Really?
And yeah,
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing. Yeah. My wife, you find out in the movie that she's pretty much lost her voice because of Eddie Sanders's control and image, you know, of how they convey their religiosity in the church. And Tommy's character is kind of that person that, you know, goes to Christmas and Easter only, you know, the CEO, so to speak. And his wife and family may go a little bit, but they probably go without him a lot too, you know, because he's playing golf and doing other things. So these two families go to family camp and end up having to share a yurt together, which is really a glorified cabin. And so you got the odd couple, you got the great outdoors, you got all those great, you know, different types of film tropes in there to create comedy and stuff. It was a lot of fun. It was, they learned together, and each one, the dads aren't bumbling idiots. The kids aren't smarter than the parents, and the wives don't get to come in and, you know, have it all together and go, here, you idiot, this is what, here, just take these three things and, you know, MacGyver it, so to speak. So everyone has stuff that they're unpacking and having to deal with. And, you know, families can be messy, but we are God's masterpiece. And you see all that work together in a beautiful way through the comedy, you know? Yeah.
That's great. Did, as you shot it, is it pretty true to script? Did you guys have any improvised moments or like, I have an idea?
You know, it's very true to script, but there's several moments in there. There's a scene in where we're crossing a river. And at one point, the director just said, you guys go for it. And so we just made up stuff. There's a scene that involved some bees. And that was all improv. Most of that came out of Eddie's brain. And so there's those moments where that's in there, you know. But for the most part, if you were to read the script, you'd go, okay, they followed the story and got it really close.
Yeah, but with that, Matthew, yeah. I mean, there was 14 revisions. So if you read the first,
right,
and even the week up to, you would find 14 revisions too. How much
that's
changed.
Amazing. The yeah. first draft, they all die at the end. It's like, this is a little Hamlet for me, guys.
Yeah, we only 30 minutes too.
Yeah. We're not going to get a sequel like this, guys. It's a genuinely funny comedy. It's called Family Camp. It's a broad comedy. It's a classic. It reminds me a little bit of Caddyshack, a little bit of Great Outdoors, even some like Dumb and Dumber moments of just over the top comedy. It's not church comedy. It's not like, okay, I'll laugh because he just wants me to laugh.
That's a compliment.
Yeah, there's some bad stuff out there. And guys, this isn't it. We are talking to Tommy Woodard and Eddie James, and we will be right back.
From Key Life comes two mini books, What Do You Do for a Living? And Life After Retirement. What Do You Do for a Living by Justin Holcomb addresses the problem of defining ourselves by what we do and how we perform in our work instead of by who we know. A gracious, loving God who defines who we are. Life After Retirement by Steve Brown examines how those transitioning from work to retirement often experience a loss of purpose in life, and how the quest for personal significance can best be answered by God's radical grace, love, and purpose for our lives sufficient to carry us through this transition. What Do You Do for a Living and Life After Retirement can help guide people struggling with either work or retirement. These two Key Life mini books are available through keylife.org for a donation of $6.
You are listening to Steve Brown, Etc. Bless your heart. By the way, do you get our weekly email? No, listen, no pressure, but I think you'll like it. I do. It's called Key Life Connection, and it's a small thing we do to remind you that God's not mad at his children. While you're thinking about it, go to keylife.org/subscribe.
Hey, guys. Steve Brown is not here today, obviously, so he asked me just to make sure that y'all are saved. If he were here, he would say, I'm not sure you're saved. But I don't know if they've told you this ahead of time, but I'm in the concert production business. I do staging, lighting, sound, stuff like that. And I have been completely slammed. So I have the pleasure of going into this completely blind. I've not seen the film. I can't wait to see the film. It sounds like it's going to be just a tearjerker out the laughs. So with that, and being from the production, tell us some of like making it. The set had to be hilarious, like the whole time.
Oh man.
Did y'all get anything done? Did you finally finish the film?
Yeah, right. Every weekend day.
And were you saved when it was over?
Yeah. Listen, it was, first of all, Jinx, like by looking at you when you were like, I do concerts. I was like, oh, do you?
I was going to pick up something with AT&T or something.
Or did Leonard Skinner missing a band member?
Yeah, banker. Definitely a banker.
It was a blast. I mean, Eddie and I, since we actually filmed this 2 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. So for the last 2 years, we pretty much look at each other and go, when do we get to go back? Like, because it was the funnest. It was, if you've ever had a dream, like the audacious dream, I'm going to play in the NBA or, I'm going to fill in the blank, that was this dream, and it's so every moment on set was just the best, and yeah, we laughed a ton. My buddy Eddie got in trouble for laughing. We had so much fun.
That's great.
Are you guys thinking about a revival,
a sequel? Word.
That was the best church word, looking for a movie word.
Yeah.
Yes, we're always thinking about revival. I think the church needs it. Thank you, though.
We would, to answer your question, we would love it if the movie does well and that kind of stuff. It'd be great to do something else to where, we don't get caught up in the Ernest goes to camp and Ernest goes to, vacation and Ernest goes to the safari. But it would be great to do something totally different and then come back and do like, just like the vacation movies or something like that, it always has family, but it is family missions or family Christmas. I think there's a lot to do with these characters, but it would be great to do something else just so we don't, it's not, it's the family camp guys, type thing. Instead of the skate guys. So, but yeah, it would be, I think there's a lot to unravel with these families. It can be a lot of fun throughout the decade.
Just make sure every version of the movie of the vacation movies, you got to have a different set of kids every single time. Just
you got to figure out a way to get the beaver on the airplane going to the mission trip. And
sounds great. Yeah.
He was the star of the show. My gosh, the fantastic beaver.
Yeah, so cute.
So very funny.
Yeah. Hey, Matthew, you talk about revisions. That beaver, it was a woodpecker at first. So it morphed somewhere in revision, 7, 8, 9.
His agent wanted too much. So you guys.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a woodpecker at some point. Yeah.
Such a pain in the neck with those.
Always go with the fur, man. People love that.
I think beavers make the movie. That's
it. So where did you guys shoot this? Because I hope they gave you a fantastic production center because it's absolutely gorgeous. And you're like, where is that? I want to go now. It looks stunning.
Yes, you would love it. It is called Scenic Guthrie, Oklahoma. And it is, you would be shocked. If you went there, you'd be like, no, you guys did not make this here, but yeah, the production guys just crushed it. What I love about this movie was it was shot in a time when we literally filmed it at a Christian camp. They couldn't do camp that summer. And we were able to come in and bless them, by using their facilities, and helping them out financially. And then they were able to help us out by giving us a place to film. So the whole thing is filmed in one spot. All of the footage is from Oklahoma. I mean, when it talks about being in the Ouachita Mountains, those sweeping shots that you see are shots from the Ouachita Mountains and stuff.
That's amazing. How long was production? How long did you guys shoot this thing?
A month, Ed?
Yeah.
Wow. Absolutely amazing, guys, that you guys shot this thing and in such a smart way. And the timing just, is just a God thing that just kind of connected like that. And here we have this movie. And again, we talk all the time, even a crummy movie that you see on Netflix, you're like, that was terrible. So many things had to align just perfectly for that crummy movie to show up on your screen.
You're right.
I love that God saw fit to smile on this one. This is not a crummy movie. This is really great. And something we can maybe talk about later, but just to mention it here while we have a second, there's some dramatic moments too. And this does not come across as offensive. You guys have dramatic chops. And that surprised me. I'm like, oh, shoot. Oh, somebody's been going to class. You guys turned it on a dime.
Somebody learned to putt.
hit me right in the feels, man. Guys, if you're laughing, laughing, listening to this show, you are going to be really laughing watching this movie. It's called Family Camp. It's at, it just opened in theaters. Go check it out. We will be right back.
He was irritated when the electricity went out. No television, no music, no Netflix. Then he discovered that the battery on his smartphone was dead. He decided to make some coffee, but when he went to the kitchen, he realized that without electricity, he couldn't even do that. Then he noticed his wife in the kitchen, and he sat down and talked to her. He said later, "You know, she seemed like a very nice lady." I know, technology's good, but sometimes go talk to somebody face to face. You might be surprised how nice and real they are. It's messy sometimes, but Jesus would like it. I'm Steve Brown. You think about that. Share what you just heard with a friend. Go to youthinkaboutthat.com.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with us on Steve Brown, Etc. And by the way, if you didn't know, you can actually watch this show on our Key Life YouTube channel, where we are now approaching 7,000 subscribers. What's that? Oh, how many does the Skit Guys have? 230,000, but that doesn't, you know, it's not about the numbers. It's about the quality. So, you know what? Let's not even go down that road. Let's just go to youtube.com/Key Life Network and start pounding that subscribe button.
You brought it up, Matthew. What were you thinking?
Did I? Just raging jealousy. That's
gosh, I know. It's not pretty, is it?
No.
Guys, how important is it to actually go see the film while it's in the theater?
It's huge to go see while it's in the theater. We have the honor and the privilege to make the first faith-based family-friendly comedy that's in theaters, hitting 900 theaters across the country.
Wow.
If it does well, it'll open up to more theaters. So that's why that first weekend, whenever this comes out, I would just encourage you to go grab a ticket. You help move the needle because it sounds like a cliche, but it's not a cliche. The people in Hollywood, the people that hold the purse strings, the people that put Doctor Strange and Firestarter and Downton Abbey and Maverick all in a month, they're watching what makes money and what moves the needle. They're going to be blown away if Family Camp, this movie, this faith-based family-friendly comedy, you know, whoa, what's this movie? So that's what your dollars do. But there is nothing better than the sounds that we've heard from the premiere audiences that have gone to see this, little kids to adults, all laughing together. It has been a beautiful, beautiful sound, because if you take off the word faith-based and just family-friendly comedy, there are none. There's cartoons and there's superhero movies. And even those, you have to be, you got to get on the app and just make sure that this is okay. There's no bait and switch with this movie. Families can, grandparents, kids can all come to this movie and really enjoy it.
Yeah, I'd add to that, you know, as we were making the movie, you know, while it was being, you know, produced, we saw a few rough cuts and we would watch that on our TV. And you're really like, oh, gosh, OK, that's OK. You know, but then once we were able to go into a theater and watch it with people, it was a game changer. I mean, there are, you know, Matthew, you talked about, where did we film that? It's beautiful. There's some sweeping shots that are just gorgeous that you're not going to, you know, you're not going to pick it up if you're watching it on your TV. But also, come on, we've been cooped up for 2 years with our families, binge watching and eating stale microwave popcorn. Like, this is just a great opportunity to get out with your family, to laugh together and to have a great time.
Yeah. In the movie business, they have a phrase, four quad. So male, female, young, old. This really does genuinely hit that and what you guys said about the scarcity of family-friendly stuff is so true. I don't know how many times we're watching or want to watch a film. We have four kids on all under 13, and you've got to scour the stuff because there could be, there's one studio that makes family movies. I don't want to name names. I'll just say the two words. Oh boy. Makes great films. And then in the middle, you're like, why did you put that in there? And this is genuinely safe for everybody and they'll enjoy it, which is the whole idea.
Yeah. Matthew, you bring up a great point. And Eddie and I have talked about this several times, especially when we started leaning towards making the movie. And that is, as believers, we will lower our standards to be entertained. And we will watch stuff that at the end of the day, we go, I don't know if I should have watched that, but I just wanted to be entertained. Our desire was to make a movie that a non-believer would go, I don't care that it's Christian. It's really funny. And I'm going to go see it, you know? And that was one of the goals behind this movie was, how do you make something that is so funny, so entertaining that somebody will want to see it, even though they may not be a believer.
Yeah.
And with that, everything that we do for the believers, because we are saved, Jinx, we have given our lives
just to checking. Truth.
Yeah. Questions.
I still want to see the card, but okay.
And being pastors, we say we're pastors more than pranksters at the end of the day, because we know comedy is so hard. We were doing comedy in churches when no one would laugh.
Yeah.
We have been able to get to see the evolution of people laughing in church, like family nights, and it's good. Our backs would sweat. You're up there doing a skit in big church and no one's laughing. This killed at youth group. Right. Why isn't this working here? And it could be audience appropriate and everything, and no one's laughing because it was irreverent. You weren't supposed to laugh. So we've been able to see that, but everything that we have has humor, heart, and him, the three H's, humor, heart, him. And when we do our short films, we will look at those three things and go, there's good laughs. There's a lot of heart. Oh, wait. Okay. Now like we did in high school, how do we weave in the God stuff? And this film has that. It has humor, heart, him. I would also add another H. We get to allow the parents and the grandparents and whoever else to leave that theater. Go to the theaters. You get to be the heroes. Mm-hmm. We've set you up for great car talks. We've set it up for you to be able to be the facilitator of when they're quoting a line and stuff like that. The God stuff will happen. You just got to be right there ready for it. We're going to tee it up for you to be the heroes for those God conversations to happen.
That's fantastic. And it is there. And when it is there, you guys have a deft touch because it's not forced. It's not like, okay, comedy's fun and everything, but let's talk about Jesus now. You're like, okay. Have you guys seen that change? That kind of, you know, frozen, chosen kind of like, is it okay to laugh? I don't.
Yes.
If people loosened up, gotten it now.
Yeah. Over the years, it has changed. I mean, when we started doing this in the late 80s, it really was. We'd walk away and people would be, man, that's so funny. And we're like, we thought you were dead, you know, like it was crazy. And Matthew, to your point, we were talking to, I guess it's just a film reviewer the other day, who's not necessarily a believer. And one of the things that she said was, she said, I kept waiting for that heavy-handed message that always hits me in the face in these movies. And she said, you guys, it was never there. Like the messages were, they just flowed throughout. And the only person that preaches in this movie is the pastor, you know? And so that was one of our goals. We didn't want that moment that, oh, here's the sermon. Okay. You know, now's a good time to go to the restroom, you know, or whatever.
Yeah. Not the classic Billy Graham kind of approach. I feel like there's a comedic Hippocratic oath. You know, there's Hippocratic oath to first do no harm. It's like, I know your intentions are good, but first do not bore. Yeah. You got it. That's the buy-in, guys. Pull that off. Then we'll talk about how to infuse it with this Christian worldview. And you guys have done that beautifully. Guys, congratulations on this film. Truly an achievement. So excited that it's getting this wide release. That's no small thing at all. Roadside Attractions, major player, major distributor. This is really exciting. Can't wait to see how it performs. Really can't wait to see what you guys do next. It looks like this thing's working. So yeah, if I was your guidance counselor, I'd say keep at it, guys. I know you talked about the rodeo clown thing, but let's keep going.
Stay
nice.
Here.
In case you needed any encouragement for that.
Yeah exactly. Guys, we have been talking and laughing with Tommy Woodard and Eddie James. They are the Skit Guys. Their movie is called Family Camp. Go to familycampmovie.com to see the trailer and, most importantly, to buy the tickets and go buy some popcorn and have a real, real good time with your family. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Hi, this is Eric, producer of Steve Brown, Etc. If you've been listening very long, you know I'm a struggling believer, and I'd love to share some things that have helped. At Key Life, we believe that the deepest message of the ministry of Jesus and the Bible is the radical grace of God for sinners and sufferers. And we have 4 mini books that'll help you believe that no matter what you've done or what you're going through, God's not mad at you. Feeling Guilty, Suffering, and Faith and Doubt by Steve Brown will help you apply healing biblical truth to where it hurts the most. And my mini book, The Gift of Addiction, How God Redeems Our Pain, shows that coming to the end of ourselves is actually the beginning of faith. These 4 mini books are in the Grace for Sinners and Sufferers mini book combo, and it's available at keylife.org for a suggested donation of $12. They're also individually available for a suggested donation of $4.
Hey, you are watching and listening to Steve Brown, Etc. What a great hour with Tommy Woodard and Eddie James. I love comedy. I love talking to comedy people. I love learning about comedy. Talking to them reminded me of a good friend of mine, Claire Sarah. She's a screenwriter, actress, podcaster out in Los Angeles. Her background coming up was through improv. And she taught me the concept that drives all of the improv scenes that you ever see. It's this concept called yes and. So you're performing with your comedy partner and they do something, and then it's your turn to say something. And that concept is yes and. So yes, as in, I accept what you just handed to me. And as in, here's what I'm going to do now. I'm going to say something, do something, move somewhere to try to constructively add to what came before. And I think there's something for us there as believers, because we're all writing our own stories because God has given us free will. But, you know, at the same time, in a mysterious kind of way, God is involved as well. Of course, he's writing his larger story. So God blesses us with a child and we say, yes, and I'm going to be the best parent I can be. And God gives us a promotion and we say, yes, and I'm going to work hard and honor God in my career. But then the plot twists sometimes and we get handed something that we didn't ask for and we do not want. There's sickness or suffering or death, or maybe there's just a hurt that comes with without any answers. And suddenly that yes, it's not as quick. And certainly the part where I make my next move, that's nowhere to be seen. And I know this is a weird way to add an hour where we've been kind of yucking it up, but I know there's somebody listening who has not had a reason to laugh or even smile for a long time. And if that's you, I wonder if you would do this. Would you just ask God for the ability to say yes? Would you ask him for that power that you don't have, that power to accept what has happened, what has come before? My hunch is, I think he'll do that for you. And that and part where you move forward, I feel like that'll follow at the right time, in his timing, because he wants your story to keep going too. Kathy, who do we have for our next guest?
Next week is very, very different from this week. We have Dr. Greg Lanier. His book is titled Old Made New, A Guide to the New Testament Use of the Old Testament. He's an associate professor of New Testament at a seminary, and talk about going from one thing to another. But we keep you hopping here on
Steve
Brown,
Etc. I'm going to have to take off my propeller hat, my propeller beanie.
We went from summer camp to seminary.
That's right. We're going to get Jinx ordained.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to learn something whether I like it or not.
Start a GoFundMe account for that.
Exactly.
Guys, thank you so much. We love you. We appreciate you. Thanks for hanging out with us on Steve Brown, Etc. We look forward to seeing you next time. Until that time, remember, be safe and stay dangerous.
Book
these things, Kathy.
I know, right?